Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, here we go. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to it.
Morning, Mark Schlereth.
Well, good morning, Michael. How are you, buddy?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Everything's good?
Everything in my world is
good. Your world. Yeah, you're good. You've gotten some rest.
I slept for a little bit.
Yeah, you did, though.
Yeah.
You know, I always worry about you. You got a little punchy yesterday around 7:45, 8 o'clock.
Sure, got a little tired.
A little tired. That's okay.
Yeah.
But you're good. You got Indy and Tennessee this week.
Yes, I do.
All right, good.
And Indy.
Get to go talk to Matt Ryan.
Yes, I do. I'm going to tell him you said he was washed. I'll just say Mike Evans, though, so he thinks it's the guy from Tampa.
That's right, yes. Yeah. Mike Evans thinks you're washed.
Yeah. Oh, Mike Evans, he said, yes. You're just washed.
Yes. I like it.
Yeah.
Mike Evans.
Hey, he'll put a chip on his shoulder, whatever it takes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then if they play each other, it'd be like, oh, yeah, that.
Yeah.
Show that Mike Evans. They'll go talk to Mike Evans and say, hey,
how you letting me now?
How do you feel about, you know, providing all that bulletin board material for Matt Ryan? What did I say?
Easy
to confuse the two of us.
Yes.
Very, very easy. Looking for your Bronco 49er leftovers. We always do this on Tuesday after a Sunday game. Stuff that maybe just slipped through the cracks a little bit that we didn't get a chance to get to in the immediate aftermath of the game yesterday with all the reaction. But hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Some parts of this game that you want to discuss that we didn't get to yesterday. Nathaniel Hackett yesterday talking about building trust with his team.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you never want guys to be robots, but you just have to continue to live within the system and understand that's going to happen. I think you're just kind of looking at that last drive. You know, there were some things that weren't there, and then trust that you know it's not there and make a play. But that's part of the system. You want those guys to feel comfortable in doing that. And there were a couple great scramble drills, a couple times Russell took off and made big plays. And that's what we're looking for. And it's not just a perfect progression, a perfect play. We can't get everybody open all the time. So when that happens, that's when those things get to get created. And that's what happened.
What a first 3 weeks on the job it's been for Nathaniel Hackett. He has learned a lot, experienced a lot. I think some of that golly gee whiz, yay football has sort of been muted a little bit. The reality, the sobering reality, the harsh reality of what Broncos mean here and what he has stepped into and how people have reacted to some of the things he's done. It has been a crash course. I'm confident, I'm hopeful that he's now through the worst of it. And that this is somebody that should only get better now moving forward. You share that same kind of confidence.
I share confidence that he'll continue to get better, yes. I'll just tell you that I think he's a really good coach. I think he's got his finger on the pulse of his team. I think he does know what he's doing on the offensive side. You know, the operation hasn't been what he wanted it to be. And, you know, obviously they haven't put a ton of points up yet. And I think those are coming. Now, you tell me that he does that for a while and then all of a sudden, you know, there's a lull in the middle of the season. Maybe they get a couple of tough opponents and, you know, they don't look great on the offensive side of the board. Hey, listen, you're going to get the same, you know, you're going to get the same fear-mongering and the same, oh my gosh, here we go, we hired the wrong guy stuff, because that's what the Denver fans are doing right now. Like they need to have some faith and some trust and some, you know, and some, they need to have some results, not 11 point results, you know, even albeit a win. So yeah, I think as soon as they start producing offensively, you're going to quit hearing all the boo birds and the countdown guys and everything else. But have a lull in the middle of the season where you don't perform offensively. 2-game lull. And yep, it'll all be back.
But I feel like the emphasis or the responsibility for that offensive improvement is now shifting more towards Russell Wilson and the players. That they kind of skated the first few weeks. And now, after we saw a game in which the operation, the game management, the communication seemed to be better, well, now I think it's time to shift the focus, and the onus is now more on Russ and the players. You've had 3 games to play.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we felt like they were missing out on the preseason, they've got 3 games under their belt. They've got a lot more under their belt now than they would have gotten out of the preseason.
Yeah.
So now it's time to start. It's time to start fast forwarding this thing here.
There's still that portion of, I think, Bronco fans that'll still look at preseason regardless and say, well, you didn't have your team ready to play. You didn't have them. They took no reps. It was, you know, a soft camp. It was whatever.
How long does that last?
Well, I think there'll always be an underlying current there. So, you know, there will always be a warm spot in the water, and that will be it.
You're never going to put the responsibility on the players to actually deliver.
You'll put some responsibility on the players, but you'll always have that excuse built in. Don't you think?
Well, yes, because that's something we have seen over the last 6 years. There's always that segment of Broncos country. I hope it's a small minority that always just wants to blame it on the coaches. That there's nothing wrong with the players. There's nothing wrong with the team that a new coach or a new coordinator won't fix. But come on, we've learned over the last 6 years, coaches have come and gone,
right?
And yet the results have stayed the same. At some point, you got to say enough with blaming the coaches, and let's put the responsibility on the shoulders of the players. And I think we've arrived at that point offensively on the offense. You've had 3 games now. I mean, I'm all for the idea that, hey, Hackett, you really blew it when it came to the way you handled the preseason with what we saw from the offense the first couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We're 3 weeks in now. You've always said that teams around the NFL treat the first few weeks of the season as almost like an extension or training camp. Okay, fine.
Right.
But at some point, it's go time.
That I agree with. And this is why I think there's going to be an offensive explosion this weekend.
Define explosion. They're averaging 14 points per game.
Between 24 and 36 points.
Wow.
Somewhere in there is what they're
going to score. Can we roll on that fever?
Yeah.
All right, pause. Let me know. Are you rolling? Go ahead. Now say it again.
I think this weekend, against the Raiders, there will be an offensive explosion somewhere between 24 and 36 points.
Wow.
For the Broncos.
Yeah, that's what I said, against the Raiders.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is so decreed.
So let it happen.
Yes.
I'm going to text Hackett right now.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Hey, dude.
Hey, man.
I just put my neck on the line.
Come on for you. I put my neck on the line for you. Come on, man. Don't leave me hanging. We'll get to some of the Bronco 49ers leftovers that are starting to roll in. And how are teams trying to defend Russell Wilson? And part of the struggle on offense, does it come down to him just not trusting the people he's throwing to? That's next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, some leftovers. Giving you a chance to dine on some tasty... let me try that again. Dine on some tasty leftovers from Sunday night. Easy for me to say.
You do love leftovers, by the way.
I love leftovers.
Yeah.
You know, when it's just... Well, you know what? It's the buffet guy in me. Because you get leftovers.
Uh-huh.
And you go into the fridge, and there's like four or five different things there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you get to do?
You get to
put together a plate like you would at a buffet.
That's a mix and match.
It's a mix and match.
Let me ask you this.
Delicious.
Do you like to warm up your leftovers?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, we've had this discussion.
Whoa.
My mom checking in.
Oh.
Oh, she got to the gate.
Okay.
She's been in town for the last couple of weeks.
She's got her own little ringtone?
No, that's just my general ringtone.
Oh, okay. Thought maybe that was a mom ringtone.
No. Got her to the airport early this morning.
Yes, you did.
I was up at 2:15 this morning. So I am really waiting for the coffee to kick in.
Right. You don't look any worse for wear.
No, but I got a little bit of Mark Schlereth bleariness in me right now.
Do you now?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's good.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I need this coffee to kick in here.
I like to
warm
up.
That's why I screwed up my leftovers talk.
Right. I like to warm up like mac and cheese or stuff like that. Yeah. But meat, I like to eat cold.
See, I thought we had this conversation about Thanksgiving leftovers. You like the cold turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
I like the two pieces of bread, open face, pile everything on, and not even nuke it, put it in the oven. And then,
you like to slather everything in gravy.
Yes. Yes.
I don't do that.
Yes.
I don't like it.
Here we go. On the text line, 303-713-1043. I got a leftover for you guys. Is Russell Wilson closer to Tim Tebow or Peyton Manning? Please, do not insult Russell Wilson by evoking Tim Tebow. Now, if you want to say, is Russell Wilson closer to Peyton Manning or Teddy Bridgewater or Joe Flacco? Or Case Keenum? Yeah, I'll go with that. We can have that argument right now. As of right now.
Well, what Peyton Manning are you talking about?
The Peyton Manning in year one. How about that?
Here in year one?
Here in year one.
Okay. He's still more athletic than Peyton Manning here in year one.
True.
By a long shot.
True. But Peyton Manning that didn't need to be taught how to play from the pocket.
I don't think he needs to be taught how to play from the pocket, Mike. I mean,
Peyton Manning never needed to be taught or had to evolve his game from the pocket. It just was. That's all he was. That's all he ever was a pocket quarterback.
Well, because Peyton Manning, I mean, look at what Chad Powers did. He ran a 5.94 or something. like those guys couldn't run to save their life.
Right, so that's all they've known is how to play in the pocket.
I understand that. Russell has played from the pocket just fine. He's just also improvised. And he's just trying to do a little less improvisation. And a little bit more from the pocket. Here's what I don't understand. You have a game where you don't look good or whatever, or you choose not to run, and all of a sudden, you know, it's the chicken little Marilats in y'all that, like, oh, he can't. Oh, clearly he'll never run again. Clearly he's fat. Clearly he's got cement shoes on. Clearly and then all of a sudden at the end of last game, you know, he scrambled around and made some plays.
You did his last game of the year last year.
Yeah.
Does he look the same to you?
Yep.
Athletically.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Moving around.
Absolutely.
Scrambling.
Yes.
Speed.
It looks the same.
Okay. Okay, that's good.
As he did at the end of last year.
That's encouraging.
Now, listen, is he what he was year one or year two? No.
No, but
there's an evolution that goes on with the player. Can he, you know, it's the Toby Keith song. I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm good once as I ever was. Like, that's what he needs to be. He needs to be Toby Keith. Toby Keith got fat. All of us get fat eventually.
Yep.
Just the way it works.
Oh, here's one for you from Mickey.
Oh
stinkers. He calls stinkers.
I just don't.
Oh,
I hope, by the way, Mickey, I hope your heart's doing well.
He is. Yeah, I've been checking in with him. He's doing better.
I hope your heart's doing
well. We're thinking of you.
I still hate you, Mickey.
Yep.
But I hope your heart's doing well.
We do hope you're feeling better.
Okay. Good.
All right, here he is.
All right.
He must be feeling better because he's texting in.
Yeah.
And he's calling you stinkers.
I know.
Oh, stinkers. It's not just Denver fans. Hack. He did that on purpose.
Uh-huh.
Hack is the laughingstock of the entire country. I can't turn on sports radio without hearing him mocked.
From sports radio people. He's very respected.
Well, sports radio, sports television.
Sure.
Let's just say that the national dialogue surrounding Nathaniel Hackett's not been positive.
No, but the people inside the game, it's been very supportive.
What do you mean inside the game?
Like the other coaches in the league and everybody else?
Of course, they're part of a fraternity. They're not going to trash a fellow member of the fraternity, especially a nice guy like that.
Okay, well, but you don't think there's any truth to...
You think they all agree, they think that he's doing a fine job through the first 3 weeks?
No, I think they know how difficult that transition is, and they think he'll be fine because he's a good coach. And that's 100% honest. I don't think that's fraternity talk. I think that's honest. I mean, I think that's a very honest assessment. It's not fraternity talk. It's not he's my fraternity brother, so he can do whatever he wants.
Really, they all know he's a good coach, a good head coach. He's got 3 games. His offense is averaging 14 points per game.
No, they know he's a good coach.
A good coach, okay.
They know he's a good coach.
Well, Vic Fangio is a good coach.
Yes.
Okay.
And you assume...
Vance Joseph's a good coach.
You assume...
Josh McDaniels is a heck of an offensive coordinator.
You assume that he's going to figure it out.
Well, I hope
that's
so.
Part of the fraternity. Let me say, everybody was nice to Tim Tebow. Did they all know he couldn't throw?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
There's a big difference between going, hey, he'll figure it out. No way that's ever going to happen.
Right.
And Hackett, you know what? He's a really good coach. He'll figure it out.
So they genuinely think he'll figure it out?
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, I hope you're right. Because Mickey's right.
Mickey's not right.
Yes, he is
right. Don't give Mickey. No,
Nathaniel Hackett has been unfavorably received over the first 3 weeks.
Right. Yeah, from talking heads on television and sports radio critics, yes, he has.
Well, a lot of those talking heads are people that played and general managed and coached the game.
That's fine.
Okay,
I just know what side they're on.
All right,
I'm on that side. I know how that works.
Coming up next Monday, we are putting on the party of the fall, but it is invite only. It's an awesome chance to be there live for what will be a truly unforgettable night, including free food. We can't share any more details with you other than it's top secret, but we're going to give you a chance to be there. Callers 4 and 5 right now win 4 VIP passes to this exclusive event. That's callers 4 and 5 right now at 303-713-1043. Good luck. Morning Brew next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Pure energy. Pure energy.
I think it all starts with the relationships that you build as a team. You know, you need to start as a team first. All the football stuff that we do, those things are easily correctable. When you put it on the tape and you say you should have run here, or you should have thrown the ball here, you should have blocked that guy, or you should have fit in that gap. Those things are very, you know, black and white, very simple to see. But to be able to create a team, guys that play for each other, is something special. And I think that there was a lot of that that you saw yesterday.
Okay, this was a big conversation that we had during the offseason. Was the idea that the Broncos culture had to change.
Sure, sure.
Do you feel it has?
I think that's a process. I think that you're developing that process, right? And it's one of those things where it's not us against them. I think a lot of teams get into, especially when they struggle, Mike, and they're not winning. You know, it's easy for the defense to go, this offense has got to start producing.
Right? Yep.
And then you see, what you end up seeing is you see a defense that starts doing things that they shouldn't be doing, as opposed to fitting a gap and eliminating explosive plays. You see guys trying to jump a route or trying to run underneath the block to go make a big play in the backfield. And that's what ends up hurting you. So I think that that's a work in progress, developing that kind of team chemistry to the point where it becomes more about the team and less about you as an individual. And that is just one of those things that is constantly, like, culture of a team is never, oh, we've arrived. It's not static. You know, it's alive. It's constantly evolving, constantly moving, and you have to constantly work on it. So I'm with Hacken on that, man. That's what makes you special. Not my scheme. My scheme doesn't make you special. Your players playing for one another, your players sacrificing, that's what makes you special. Next on the Morning Brew.
You know, really in the fourth quarter, I had to kind of, you know, use my legs and kind of take over and just try to move around and find some first downs. And then, you know, Kendall Hinton, you know, making that big play. I went left. I guess I can still go left, but I went left and, you know, hit Kendall on that. That was a big play by him. And then we had the run called, and I ended up changing the play to Cortland. He made a great play on that one-on-one. The line did a tremendous job of battling that whole drive and us just believing. And then obviously Melvin Gordon getting the end zone. That was pretty huge.
A snark there from Russell Wilson. Yeah, I can go left, Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Take that with your scouting report and all your numbers that I can't complete passes rolling to my left. Good to know that corny Russ can still have a little snark there, that he's still aware of what's being said out there.
I guess I can still go left.
Who's got bigger ears, Russ or Roger Rabbit?
Or Jerry Jeudy?
That's
who you're talking about. Yeah. Nobody has bigger ears than
Roger Rabbit.
Than Roger Rabbit. Those things are ginormous. They hear everything.
Let me just tell you about
it's
Harry
like
Hootie.
Bionic.
Harry Hootie's got some big old ears now.
Huge.
One bit of friendly advice, Jerry. Don't be going after Shannon Sharp. You're not going to win that one.
No, that dude sits every morning on a bully pulpit. You can't win that one.
Does Russell Wilson trust anybody but Cortland Sutton?
No.
Is it a matter of trust right now? I think what has started out as being, well, you know, he's just not on the same page. It's still about finding continuity. It's still about gelling. I don't know. I think it's becoming more about he doesn't trust anybody but Cortland Sutton. And a lot. And listen, that's not just a Russell Wilson thing. Veteran quarterbacks, Tom Brady freezes guys out. There are guys that were brought into New England over the years that were highly touted that just never worked because they never gained Brady's trust. Other than Sutton, who's he trust?
Right. And there's also dudes that a guy that just make the team because that's the quarterback's guy.
Right.
And the team may want to get off the guy, but he is the quarterback's guy. So, yeah, I think there's a trust factor there, a reliability factor there. The other thing is, Mike, is I think when things break down, Cortland has been the one guy that has really connected with Russ from a scramble drill standpoint. Like understanding where Russ is going, reading the quarterback, breaking off your route while reading the quarterback and mirroring the quarterback's movement to make yourself a friendly target. He's done it better than everybody else.
Targets. Cortland Sutton, 28 targets. Next is Javonte Williams, 21. The next receiver is Jeudy, with 16. Albert O with 10. Those are the only pass catchers with double digit targets for the first three games. Next on the Morning Brew.
It could be a compliment when they don't look your way. You know, when you do what you have to do early on in the game, that's what happens. You know, you just have offenses, you know, look the other way or, you know, evade from you. But, you know, I wouldn't say that it could be a good or a bad thing because when you only get, you know, one ball thrown your way, you're limited to making plays.
Pat Surtain. They're not throwing at Pat Surtain. The word's out. Teams aren't throwing at Pat Surtain. He only got one ball thrown at him the other day. So how much impact is he having on the defense if nobody's throwing his way?
Huge, huge impact.
How? He's not there to make plays. He's not there to get interceptions or anything like that.
That has nothing to do with it. He's shutting down one side of the field. You roll coverage to the other side, you make plays. I mean, that's, can you, when people have enough respect for you to say, we're not even going to try you, you got that half of the field on, that half of the field is locked down. I mean, it gives you an option. You know, if he can do that and you're not even looking over there, now you get, now you can go, hey, we can double team two other dudes without even thinking about it. Well, you think about it, right? If you rush four and you drop seven and they get all five guys out, all right? You one-on-one, they're not even looking, which means now you've got, right, you've got that one. So now you've got six on four. So you can double team.
Math.
Yeah. Six on four is a pretty, that's a pretty solid matchup. Man.
I knew the answer. I just wanted you to.
Math.
I just wanted you to.
Math. Johnny. Yeah. Johnny, that was really, that
yeah.
was.
Yeah. Math has been put on notice this morning.
Right.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Nicole and I have a relationship where we can talk openly and honestly to each other. And I can challenge him about whatever he needs to be challenged on. And the thing that I think, aside from being a better defender, improving his three-point shooting, is continuing to find a way to be comfortable with his voice. Like, everybody is just waiting for him to say something. And when he does, it has a profound impact.
Yesterday was Nuggets Media Day. There's Michael Malone. Do we get the first Michael Malone of the season?
Michael Malone.
The first Michael Malone. Oh, there we go.
Oh, man. Been missing this. That is smooth.
That is just mad.
That is smooth.
Is it getting warm in here? Nikola Jokic needs to be more vocal. I would think that he's now at that stage of his career where he's ready to really be the voice of this team, right?
Yeah, but
Who do you think of as the vocal leader? Is it him? Is it Jamal Murray now that Murray's back?
Aaron
Gordon?
I think the guy that has the pulse of the team is Nikola, but I just don't know at what point he feels comfortable being that. You can't be something that you're not. And the other thing is, you know, if you just start talking all the time because they've appointed you or anointed you, hey, you got to be our vocal leader, then it loses some of its merit. You know, when all of a sudden you say that's enough, I'm putting my foot down, you know, everybody respects you enough to listen. Like, there's value in that. So maybe there's another guy, like you said, Gordon or Murray, that becomes kind of the daily chatterbox, right? But there's the one guy where it's the buck stops here.
Yeah, but it's got to be that guy. It's got to be Jokic.
Of course,
you're the two-time MVP. You're the one of the top two or three best players in the NBA. Don't give me this.
Let me ask you,
part of your nature. Make it part of your nature.
It's
part of the responsibility that comes with being the guy. You know,
did Drago have a lot of lines in Rocky?
No.
No, he did not.
No.
But he had probably the one most memorable line. And when he said it, you got a piss shiver.
Which
was? He dies.
Good point.
Right? I mean, that had weight.
I'm not saying he has to go on off and become a chatterbox. I'm just saying that maybe he does pick his moments, but he's got to be willing to pick his moments.
But don't you think he's picked his moments in the past?
I don't know. But this is a team that enough's enough, okay? Everyone's healthy. Everyone's back. Enough's enough, okay? It's time to make a run at this thing.
Okay.
All right?
I'm with you.
And if making a run at this thing and it means that somebody has to step up and be a vocal leader other than Michael Malone, then I expect it to be Jokic. It's time.
It's time. Yeah.
Okay. The Avalanche spoiled me. Okay.
All right.
Bar is raised.
I'm okay with
Nuggets,
that.
It's your turn.
It is your turn.
All right.
Nuggets.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, joins us to talk about these last 3 weeks for Nathaniel Hackett, and is the worst over for Coach Hackett. That's next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, joins us, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, guys. What's going on?
Just turn your microphone on.
Oh, you know, just chopping it up. It sounded good, though.
Yeah.
To me, in my ear, I sounded great. Well, you know, it's early, Mike. Come on.
It is early. Mark, I'm hearing you all over the place, man. It's 24-7 Mark Schlereth.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the more you can do, the more you end up doing, Mike. So, hey, man, operationally, where the Broncos are hiring, what's the guy?
Rosberg.
Rosberg. Hiring Rosberg, yeah. Just operationally, how did that go? And whose idea was that? Who was the onus of that? Was it Hackett that said, I need this help? Was it Peyton, George Peyton that said, hey, man, you need this help? Like, how did that, walk us through how that happened.
Yes. First of all, I thought it worked. You know, we're talking about this week about how we're not talking about it too much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there wasn't big penalties. You know, it went from averaging 12.5 in the first two games to down to 5. No real major penalties. Maybe some were poorly timed. But, you know, there's no chanting from the crowd. I think one time they tried it, but they got the snap off before they could get their momentum going. I thought Jerry Rosberg and the whole operation went well. Their offense and execution is a different matter. But the way it worked was after the Houston game that night, I think Nathaniel Hackett felt a little beat up. And he and George talk after every game. And Hackett told George that he needed some help. He wanted to continue play calling and running the offense, but he wanted some help with the overall game management and the communication. I think Hackett was a little... Looking at it, there wasn't a whole lot of communication going on. He's got a young staff with young coordinators. You know, his analytics guy up there is young and was relatively inexperienced, and he just wanted an experienced voice. And from there, you know, they started calling around. I think in that case, George Payton is really the networking guy. He's got a tremendous network around the league. He knows everyone. He knows agents. He knows GMs. He knows personnel guys. And I'm not sure how they came across Jerry Rosberg. Harbaugh had said yesterday in his press conference that he thought Jerry wanted to get, he could tell Jerry wanted to get back in. And, you know, I heard from a former Ravens or a person with Ravens ties who said Rosberg's really known for great organizational skills, and he's a very good leader. And he did do game management stuff for Harbaugh. So Rosberg wanted back in. The Broncos needed him, and there you go. And he got in Wednesday of last week, and they really went to work on it, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, heck, it was late to a lot of the media stuff because they were working on this the timing and the headsets and the communication, and I thought the operations went smooth.
Is there a sense that after everything that's gone on the last 3 weeks that maybe Hackett is through the worst of it?
Yes, there is that sense. Well, that's what a win does. You know, had they lost that game, who knows what the you know, feeling and the vibe would have been around the team this week. But they won, ugly as it was, which it was only ugly on offense, by the way. I hate to call it, you know, ugly, because that's, you know, there can be beauty on defense too, right? Isn't Bradley Chubb a beautiful player and Randy Gregory a beautiful player? But on offense, obviously things look bad, except for, you know, when they needed to win in the fourth quarter. And, you know, whether it's, you know, if you lose 31-30 and you're down by 5 points in the fourth quarter and you don't get it done, you know, every game is different. And if you're behind in the fourth quarter, the key is to, you know, to come through with under pressure. And Russell Wilson and the offense did. So on to Vegas against Josh McDaniels, who, you know, has a 6-game losing streak going back to 2010 as a head coach, and see what happens there.
Yeah, Josh already having closed-door meetings with Mark Davis after games. So things are going swimmingly. Devontae Adams saying that he's frustrated with the situation already. So Josh McDaniels doing what Josh does, although the Raiders are a favorite in this game coming up on Sunday.
I mean, they've you know, they're looking at it that they could be 3-0. They've been in every game, and, you know, the Broncos could be 0-3. I guess that's the way the odds makers are looking at it. And so not surprised the Broncos are underdog, or although it's less than 3 points that the home team gets. But, you know, you still get the feeling you don't quite know who the Broncos are yet. You know, Vance Joseph's first year, they started 3-1. So you got to play this thing out a little bit longer.
Okay. Mike, thank you very much.
You got it, guys.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider, joining us, presented by Bet River Sportsbook. 4-down territory coming up next. What Chad Powers had to say about Russell Wilson. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.